Back here on the Blitz, Jack Quinn with you. And if you're just joining us, to be clear, I did not set the bumper music today. That was Alex. And I suspect he's having a little fun with me with the music. But it could be worse. It certainly could be worse. It could be a country song. So 461-1330 is the number. Pirates fall today 6-5. You heard it right here to the Atlanta Braves. They are really struggling right now. And you can hear the Erie Seawolves coming out tonight, 7:10 first pitch right here on AM 1330, The Fan. And that should be a heck of a pitcher's duel as they wrap up that series with the Reading Fightin' Phils. That name really doesn't roll off the tongue. Why not just the Phils? I think drop the Fightin' at this point. Anyway, right now, as I mentioned, happy to be joined by State Representative Aaron Bernstein, who proposed this legislation to separate the public and private playoffs, as well as the transfer rules, altering the transfer rules. State Representative, thank you for taking the time today.
Jack, thanks so much for having me, and we're already off to a bad start. I didn't know the Buccos lost before you just told me, so...
Yeah, they're
that's a rough start to it.
Yeah, my co-host, who's not in today, started this hashtag pirate positive thinking, but they've now lost seven in a row and they're nine out. So I don't know how long that's going to last at this point.
I mean, I think we're done there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I think you sell off your assets. Hopefully they'll keep Bell, but we'll see what happens. So getting to this legislation, I guess the first thing logistically I wanted to ask is, do you have a lot of support from your colleagues, and particularly those on the other side of the aisle? Do you think that this will pass?
I do, and here's the thing. I can give you a little bit of the background on kind of what we did and the way that we worked through the legislative process, but so first and foremost, I think what is important is we tried to bring every stakeholder that we could to the table. And anytime you're working on a change as, I'm going to use the word radical, talking about, because in 40 years, it's been an issue. For the last 40 years, it's been an issue. So we wanted to bring people to the table from public schools, private schools, student athletes, coaches, et cetera. And the first meeting that we had, it didn't go well. To say the least. And I think because there's a lot of animosity that's been going on since longer than I've been alive. I'm 34 years old. So, you know, through those conversations, we built relationships and we built some bridges. And here's the thing I'd say about this legislation. First and foremost, am I happy with every component of it? Absolutely not. I'm a public school kid that went to a Class A that we got our tails kicked in Hershey by a private school that was half the size of us, and we had graduated 43 students, okay? But the rationale and the reason that I think this is so important is the following. If we do nothing and we can't reach an agreement with the private schools and the public schools, what will happen is for the next 40 years or the next 50 years or the next 100 years, we're going to be in the exact same situation we were in. So, you know, to me, this is a great point. This is a good starting point. And if some things don't work out well with the legislation, guess what? We can go back to the drawing table after things are implemented and try to change them and adjust them. So, you know, that's kind of the rationale and what we looked at to try to move the legislation forward.
Why? You said things aren't working out. What exactly is not working out? And at this point, I'm referring to just the playoff separation.
Yeah. You mean today?
Yeah, like you said, it hasn't been working out, and it would continue to not work out. What exactly is not working out when it comes to the current postseason?
So the truth is that private schools today are dominant in the sports that we had talked about. And I have some data around that. But let me give you an example. Public schools account for 85.1% of boys' basketball programs across the state. Okay? They only account for 62% of Final Four. And you go straight down through, you know, those types of things that exist. You know, the private schools account for 13.9% of volleyball and have 37.5% of their teams in the Final Four. So the dominance that exists is within those private schools. And that's because recruiting takes place. And, you know, I'm not thrilled about either is the transfer rule. Okay. But I'd be happy to talk to you if I could about why that's in there and why made those decisions.
I want to get to that, but I just want to stay in the playoffs for a second. A couple of things do occur to me though, that public schools are at their leisure to recruit as well. They would pay, I guess. And the other huge issue here is that you're lumping the charter schools in with the public schools. And I guess, and I read one article that said, well, that's sort of, you know, they're technically public schools, but you're technically going to be replacing or repealing an act from 1972. Why then can't you change that notion and put the charter schools where they belong with the private schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, happy to address that and answer that. A couple things. One, I think a lot of the feeling is on that the charter schools are dominant. The data tells us otherwise, but I'll come back to that in a moment.
Well, Imhotep certainly has been dominant.
Let me share with you, though. Let me share with you the other side of this. It's also just as important. You would have to change the Pennsylvania Education Code on what a public school is in order to change it in that language, because it says public and private. Or I think it says public and non-public. I'm sorry. So you would actually have to change what the education code is. The truth is, and I know a lot of politicians say, hey, we're going to tackle the world and we're going to accomplish all these different things, right? We're not going to change that in Harrisburg for playoffs, for sports. It would affect too many other things. It's not going to happen. So to me, it's about taking a step in the right direction. It's not always about hitting a home run, but rather get a single, see how we can get to second, bunt a guy over to third, and let's get a sack fly to bring it home, right? So to me, this is a good first step that solves some of those issues. Now, as you're aware, we have 8 sports that are included in this with the opportunity for additional sports down the road, right?
Yep.
The final 4 teams, 16.67% of teams in boys basketball were charters in Final Four, 4.17% in football. In girls basketball, softball, soccer, both boys and girls, baseball, and girls volleyball had 0%. So the only sport that you're really talking about is boys basketball, and it's still not as dominant as other people would say. Now, the issue is those are significantly different, and I think I tweeted back to you, and if not, I can, and you can share this stuff later as well. The difference on the private schools, they're significant. For example, boys basketball private school has 37.5% and 33.33% in football, 29% in basketball, 18% in soccer, 37.5% in girls volleyball.
Okay. All right. My biggest question then, and then I do want to move on to the transfer rule, is this. You said earlier there's an inherent disadvantage to the public schools because private schools recruit.
Right.
And yet you want them to play for the championship, though. You want them to play against each other. Wouldn't that be an inherently unfair championship game if these private schools are all recruiting and they're going up against the public schools? Why have them play there?
Great question. So, and I'll share with you why that's in there. The public schools that I spoke to said they wanted a public school champion, okay? And that public school champion would be, you know, they get a trophy, they hang a banner, they're a public school champion. Now, here's what was really interesting, and I know a lot of people are talking about the other side of this, but I'm telling you, the coaches I talked to and the student-athletes I talked to said, hey, we want a shot at the private school champion.
Just not in the earlier rounds. They only want to get
correct.
They only want an easier avenue to the final and then get a shot to upset them, essentially.
Yep. Yeah. That was their attitude.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to move on to the transfer rule. The one thing that really bugs me is Ohio does this correctly. Certainly, what you really should be doing is legislation to fix the television broadcast, because PCN, compared to what Ohio does, is in the 19th century. I mean, you look at what they do on STO. They split up the venues. It's a beautiful HD production. So, but I won't get into that rant now.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing. The other thing that I think we should be working on, and a good friend of mine, he's a bipartisan friend. He's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Is Ryan Bizarro. I know he does a great job up there in Erie. And I always tell Bizarro, if he wants to be a hero in Erie, is all that he has to do is legislate for not so much snow, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is speaking of snow,
I mean, the football playoffs go on, and I mentioned Ohio, 2 weeks further than Ohio. I mean, they've got the Christmas lights up. You're a week out of Christmas. This would extend it even further. They're already starting early. I mean, I think the first games are late August. It just seems absurd to me to continue to make these seasons even longer, and then you'd also potentially have teams traveling cross-state for their championship game, because we don't see true Western finals, as you know. We don't see true Eastern finals because of the school imbalance, because we have six classifications, and even when we had four, we had this issue. So now they'd be traveling again, like at Christmas time or in January. I mean, it just seems absurd to me to, and for basketball as well, you're going into late March to do this stuff.
So, you know, what you're talking about, you can do it one of two ways. Number one, you could shrink the number of teams, or you could keep the same number of teams, right? You just have two separate brackets. The other thing is that you could do is you could start, you could, if you wanted to, I'm just throwing some ideas, you could eliminate one game in the regular season, get started earlier. There's a lot of different ways. One of the things, though, Jack, that a lot of people are not talking about with this legislation, I'm surprised that more folks haven't picked up on it, but it talks about the fair representation on the PIAA board. So private schools right now account for 17% of members of the PIAA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, public schools account for 83%. Well, a huge thing right now is that the publics are at a serious disadvantage as it deals with representation on the PIAA board. This legislation mandates, doesn't advise or anything else, it mandates the representation, the increase, or the PIAA's district committee will be insured to have, if you have, and I'm making up a number, 20% private in one district and 80% public, they would have 20%, privates would have 20% representation, public's 80%. So there's going to be a great, much greater say by the public schools in this on the PIAA board to be able to make those decisions on behalf of students.
I mean, have there been issues with, like, biased findings on the boards? Like, I don't even know what role they play, to be honest, as far as those
boards.
Oh,
yeah, it's significant. Very, very significant. That's where these decisions are made. People have talked and they've said, hey, we'll just come out and say, well, the PIAA has the right to make separate playoffs and introduce legislation like that. Well, the PIAA has said, even if that was the case, we're not going to do it. They've publicly said that. This would be a huge change in a governance issue that handles the day-to-day and the structure of the PIAA. Of all the things that we're talking about here, I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world, but that is probably the most important piece that will help from a PIAA governance standpoint.
Talking with State Representative Aaron Bernstein. All right, now the transfer rule, which essentially allows, you know, as long as your grades are okay, unlimited transfer. My first question is, first of all, there's a reason, obviously, and I know you mentioned earlier there are many aspects of this transfer that you're not in favor of, but, I mean, there's a reason why Division I football and basketball and those sports have outlawed this for so long, because it essentially has the potential to create chaos. My first question is, would a student be able to transfer in a limited amount of time? Say you're a freshman and you transfer, it also says that you can transfer up until the midway point of your season. So say I'm a freshman, I'm on the varsity football team. I transfer four games in. Is that it? Or could the following year, could I transfer somewhere else?
Yeah, you could transfer somewhere else the way this is structured. The other side of this is we're going to limit those through amendments in probably in committee or on the House floor. It says you can't go back and forth within a given year, and that's just from an academic standpoint. But I'll share with you why we put this in place. The transfer rule is interpreted so poorly by the districts and by the PIAA and inconsistently that there are kids that are transferring for not athletic reasons at all. That they're saying, well, hey, yeah, here it's for athletic reasons, and I give you an example of that. One kid said, oh, I'm moving here to play basketball, okay? It just wasn't the truth. It's just what he told somebody. They brought that up in a hearing, and all of a sudden, now the kid can't play sports for a year, all right?
Where was that?
Pardon me?
Where was that?
Yeah, I don't want to get into that because I don't want to expose the young person. That's okay?
No, that's fine.
But, other situations that are athletic, but some rich parent was able to hire a really good lawyer and fight it. It disproportionately affects poor kids, and that's one of the things that is a real problem that exists. And here's the last part. 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids are not able to make these decisions unilaterally. I don't want to hurt kids because of decisions that a rogue coach or a rogue parent is making. I don't think that's fair to the young man or the young woman. Well, and I've sat down with these kids, and that's been a major issue.
I agree that common sense solutions need to be adhered to as far as the transfer process. And I've seen bizarre examples that made no sense. And just like the NCAA, arbitrarily, one guy will be allowed to play. You know, we see the kid at Ohio State, oh, he can play, but this kid at going to, you know, Texas A&M can't. And the NCAA gives no reason. However,
yeah, an issue at Illinois just the other day where somebody has to go home. His parents have passed away.
His grandparents were sick.
And he's going there to take care of his grandparents, and all of a sudden the NCAA says not good enough.
Yeah, and
we're seeing the same stuff in PIAA.
But, well, you could create common sense solutions there. It seems to me, and not seems to me, it will create immeasurable chaos if, for example, I'm on team A, my team on football, say I'm football, and I'm a sophomore, I'm the starting wide receiver. We start out 1-3. My rival is 3-0. I'll just transfer there because I know we're not going to the playoffs. This seems to me, and this could be unlimited. And then the next year, say, maybe that coach leaves or I'm not getting the playing time, they wanted to move me to defensive back. Well, I'll just transfer to another school. And this to me would be the wild, wild west and create far more problems than we currently have. Would it not?
Yeah. Well, good point and some really good examples there. Here's the thing. When you're transferring, remember, somebody would actually have to move their family, right, for that to happen, or pay tuition, okay?
Right, but if you're in a city that has multiple institutions, it seems to me that could be easily gotten around. I'm not talking about moving from Erie to Pittsburgh or something like that. I'm talking, say, within Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but remember, you know, they're designated to that school, so they would literally have to move, relocate, the school would have to accept them, all those types of things. It's just not as easy as that seems. But listen, that being said, we're going to put some things in place that understand that they can't bounce back and forth. But I also want to be really careful that we're not punishing young people because of decisions that adults are making. Now, here's the other side of this.
But wait, real quick, though. You could also, though, say that adults – and we see this all the time in basketball, and it was alluded to in the statement by the PIAA, that this can create super teams, that you can see the lunatic parents, the ball family of the world, in which, you know, they're just public. There are thousands, of, you know, hundreds of thousands across the United States where they're not happy with their kids' playing time. This makes it immeasurably easier for the dad to get mad, say, I don't like this coach. He's not playing little Joey enough. Boom, we're out of here. And we see that all the time in states where this is allowed.
Right, but remember, if they're going to, and by the way, here's the difference in Pennsylvania. If that were the case in Ohio and you have open enrollment, I think it's very different. Open enrollment meaning you can live in one district and go to another, okay? Mm-hmm. We don't have that in Pennsylvania, so they would have to physically move their family for that to happen or become a tuition-paying person. And most of the districts across Pennsylvania still do not allow tuition-paying students.
Yeah, I get that. I just feel like it'd be easy. Like, oh, if his uncle lives there, he's moving in with his uncle. I mean, I just feel like it would be awfully easy to circumvent those particular parameters. I mean,
that's one of the rumors that exists. But the truth is that person has to obtain guardianship. There has to be a court proceeding. A judge has to sign off on that. I understand some of these things, but remember, We're doing this for not just the star athlete that plays basketball that's going to go end up playing at Gannon or Youngstown State or Duke or North Carolina, but we're also doing this for the person that's third string that has been harmed by this. I mean, that person I'm talking about in basketball, they didn't even start. Like, they weren't even that good. So, you know, these are the things that we're trying to stop. And for a couple of these instances that would happen, I just don't want to hurt kids across the, you know, I don't think we want to legislate for the minor instances that occur, but rather look at the greater mass in the situation.
Yeah. Well,
and by the way, I understand if you view it differently, and there's a case to be made. I think there's always a bad example or always an example on situations that happen like that. But you know, like I said, I think we want to make sure we're focused on the norm and not the complete abnormality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried that the norm would become this Wild West thing if in fact this goes through. But in any event, you know, maybe we'll have you on the, maybe actually when we get toward, you know, athletic season, this will become more, you know, more well known. And, you know, I appreciate you taking the time today, Representative Aaron Bernstein. So hopefully maybe the Pirates will turn it around. I don't think that they will. I'm not optimistic, but you never know. But thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
No doubt, my friend. I appreciate it. And thanks for that. I always love being on a sports show. So.
All right. Thank you very much.
Calling, I'm in.
Okay. Thank you. There you go.